loop right through here.
To love.
Amen. All right, I've noticed that a few people are having problems with the volume. I just turned up the mic. Is it any better? Yes, it is. Yeah, my mic's on. Can you hear me? I turned up the volume. Is it better for Yolanda and Susan? Much better. Okay, good. All right. Yeah, maybe I adjusted it down when I was doing a video because I think it overmodulates in the videos that I do, so I have to remember to jerk it back up again. I don't want to get over the gate, and I'm pushing it now, so. Yeah, maybe it was lag because there's so many families in here, and after Eli shuts off, you know, the music, and then I speak, and I guess for the first few sentences you guys didn't hear me. Anyway, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on the Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us in your will. And thank you for the trials and tribulations that come our way to help us get closer to you, because we truly want to strive unto that perfection. And so thank you for forgiving us when we fall short and we sin. And thank you for teaching us how to confess and repent and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please bless everyone that's in attendance again here today, Father. And please bless all those that we lifted in prayer last night, all the prayer requests that were put into the room, and all those that are on our prayer list now. And Father, we make special mention for Brother Ace and his family. He's not able to be with us today because of sickness, and they were sick last night, and I guess it's just a little bit too much for them to handle now. And so Brother Ace is, I know he had 102 yesterday, and so Father, we're praying that your healing hand is upon him, and of course his daughter Jillian, because she's been sick for a month. And so please let your loving hand be upon that household, and all the households that are dealing with loved ones that are sick, especially if they're older children, and they need to understand that you are the only one that can heal them, and so they have to walk with you and trust you. And so thank you, Father, again, for being with us and blessing us. And we lift this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. And amen. Okay. Now, since I haven't done a current events sermon in just over 4 months, I guess the time is right for us to take a look at what's happened in the last 4 months so as to get a better understanding as to what's going on out there and what time it is that we live in. So, as I usually do, I'm going to be sharing some of the excerpts from articles. And I like to keep the excerpts kind of short, and so that we can get a lot of articles in. Some excerpts I have to, like a whole paragraph, because it's pretty important what they're saying. And all of them, if you frequent the website, you know that the main page on the website deals directly with this. I concentrate on current events, and I show how these things that are happening now were prophesied to happen. The only problem is there's so much happening, and I shouldn't have let this go for 4 months. I know about a year ago I said I was going to try to do this every month, but that's my desire. My Lord, our Lord, tells me sometimes, you're going to preach this week. And so, so like every other month, I was doing like a current events kind of a thing, sometimes 3 months, but now I let it, we let it go for 4. And so there's just no way I can cover everything that's going on out there. So I'm trying to pick some of the real cream of the crop here, the really heavy-duty stuff that I consider heavy-duty, and prophetically speaking. And the only problem is, as some of you have already noticed, if you looked at the notes underneath the chat room, that a lot of these articles are out of sync. What I mean is they're not in chronological order. They don't go down by dates. It's because they did originally go down all by dates, and I was working on this on Thursday, and then Friday a bunch of stuff came across my desk, and then so I started pulling articles out and to put in the more potent ones, the new things. Because The last month or two has just been insane with prophetic events. And so, but then even there, I can't cover them all. And this is one of the reasons for the main page on the website. And I praise the Lord for him giving me the desire to do that, because that's how I used to do the radio show. When I did the radio show years ago, that's all I did, was I would read the articles every single day. I would do research every day so that by the end of the week, when I had my time slot on the radio, I had enough articles to work with. And I got to the point where I was doing it. There was so much happening, I started listing current event pages, and nothing really worked until I actually started doing this type of RSS feed that I have on the main site now. So it seems to work okay. And thank you for your help, for those of you that actually send articles and some of the comments that you put with them too. Thank you so much for that. Because now my, instead of taking, 5 to 8 hours, I can usually get the articles done now in 2 to 3, 2 to 4 hours. But then that's not counting all the emails and all the other things I do every day. So, as for Christian martyrdom, though, and the animals, the birds, the fish, the insects that are dying, or the earthquakes, or the calamities, and all the evil acts that we see the teachers doing in the government schools, and the American Medical Association, these things are happening so often that I don't know if you've noticed, I had a page on the website all about these strange animal deaths. I stopped working on that about a year ago. It's just too much happening. And I just can't keep up with it. It's just happening way too much. And the earthquakes, of course. There's just so many, like Brother Daniel lets us know every week. It's just an amazing amount of, anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 earthquakes per week. And so certain articles, even on my main page of the website, I just don't comment on anymore, because I've commented on them so many. Like for example, once in a while I might comment on a school article if they did something extra crazy, but usually now I'm just throwing links on the archives, the homeschool Spurs page, and once in a while I might do an article about it, or comment on an article, because I mean they came out of left field with some crazy stuff. So there's literally thousands and thousands of articles on those topics, like martyrdom, the animals dying, the calamities, the schools, the quakes, and we would never get through them. There's just too much happening now, and so I mean, we are definitely in the last days, overwhelmingly convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. Even some scoffers are coming up saying, "What's going on?" Because they know we study prophecy and teach it. So without any further ado, first article came out in March, and the headline is Pope Francis to Muslims, Jews, and Catholics: We have the same Father. And a little excerpt says, Pope Francis welcomed an interreligious group from Argentina made up of 15 Jews, 15 Muslims, and 15 Christians. They were on their way back from a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. First of all, I think he means 15 Catholics, and according to the scriptures, that's not the definition of Christianity. Still, the Lord winks at their times of ignorance, too. If they truly want to please the Lord, they'll come out of that church like I did 30 years ago, or 31 years ago. So, if we have the same Father, why is it the Jews deny Jesus as Lord, and the Muslims kill as many Christians as they can? Doesn't their Father tell them to kill the Christians, and doesn't their Father to tell them to deny Jesus Christ as Lord? I mean, even a six-year-old kid with the ability to read a newspaper could see that the Pope is lying here. I mean, if we all had the same Father, we would all be Christians, period. The God of heaven is not the God of confusion, but the God of hell is, in fact, to be prophesied as the God of confusion. In fact, that's how the word Babylon is defined in prophecy. It means to mix truth with error. It just says to mix, but we know what it means there. And by the way, just so you know, the only reason the Pope had the ability to make such a blasphemous statement is because of what he and Kenneth Copeland did a month before this article came out. And I did a little bit of a video about this. They did this video in front of thousands of their so-called evangelical church leaders. And if you're wondering, the video I did on this is called Man of Sin's Prophesied Task. And it's in box number 2 of the sermon notes if you missed it. It happened back in February of this year. So, as students of prophecy, we can clearly see that the lukewarm Protestants are right now reaching across the gap to Mother Rome, and that prophecy was, you know, fulfilled to the letter. Absolutely fulfilled to the letter. They even stated on camera that Martin Luther's protest was over. That's what that so-called Bishop Tony Palmer said. Now, what amazed every Christian with eyes that see is the fact that they stated the Great Reformation of Martin Luther's day, or the Sixth Hour movement, was over based on one statement supposedly being corrected theologically by Rome. In other words, they stopped doing their naughty naughties and now they're doing the right things, right? On one statement. But those of us that know church history realize that Martin Luther posted a 95 thesis, which is 95 reasons to leave the Church of Rome. But they didn't mention the 94 reasons. No, no, no. In fact, the thousands of evangelical leaders were all in agreement that they didn't have to address the other 94 reasons of that thesis. This proves all of Copeland's leaders, and there was like, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 of them sitting there, they worked directly with Rome, just as we expected all along. And this is one of the reasons that the Pope had that little meeting with them on camera and did a little iPod or iPhone, you know, video with Tony Palmer, which, you know, come on, like it was off the cuff. No, this was set up. This was designed to go in the exact way that it was set to go. So Copeland and the Pope lied, yes, but when you look at how all the Protestant churches are now in bed with Rome, and this includes the SDA Church, who recently held a pagan Lenten service wherein a Roman Catholic priest was allowed to officiate it, and I'll get into that later. So, yeah, they lied about the true protest being over. Because as remnant people, we know Rome is worth protesting. But all the fallen churches are right now wondering after this beast, just as Revelation 13 predicted. Okay, this next one is one of those out-of-sync ones. It's totally out of order here. This is from June 30th. Was that a week ago? And I did a... This is the title of a video I did on this. It's, I think this was a video I did. Yeah, it is. No. I think it's just an article. I don't know. Anyway, the headline is Pope Francis, Marx stole his best ideas from Christianity. And the article says, since assuming the papacy in March last year, Francis has established himself as a global voice on the side of the dispossessed, with the critique of unfettered capitalism earning the label of Marxist from conservative commentators in the United States. It's a label that he has frequently rejected. Well, this is nothing more than a PR statement, public relations statement by the Vatican. I mean, according to historic record, both Lenin and Hitler said, if you repeat a lie enough times, the people will eventually come to believe it, right? So the Pope can reject the Marxist label all he likes. The fact he is once again trying to make Marxism look good by claiming it borrows from Christianity proves he is all about the socialist New World Order. In fact, the last two popes were just as happy to chime in on his positive aspects of socialism as well. But if you visit my Vatican Socialist Agenda page on the site, you will see that this pope is in fact a card-carrying, dyed-in-the-wool Marxist. The link to that page is, of course, in box number 4 of the sermon notes. This pope, more than any pope, has pushed this evil agenda to all the world leaders, just as students of prophecy expected and have been preaching for decades. The next headline. The trade and industry adheres to Sunday non-working. And this is one of those, you know, yellow triangle articles that I put on my website. Whenever you see the yellow triangle with the exclamation point in it, you know this is about Sunday laws. This is one of those scary articles. Some people consider it scary. And it says this in the article. Members of the Board of the Center of Trade and Industry, or CCI, showed their commitment to bill submitted to a bill. I just copy it. Now, see, for those of you that sometimes send me an email says, hey, did you know that the article has a misspelled word? I says, yeah, and I'm leaving it. Even if their grammar's messed up, you have to leave it. Why? Well, if somebody decides to check up on you, like if you've got a website and you put an article, an excerpt on the article on the website, you put the source, and then they go, and then you correct the spelling and you correct the grammar, and then they copy the entire excerpt into their clipboard and then put it into a search engine and they can't find it, they say that you lied. You made up that article. So don't change the commas and the periods, and don't fix the grammar, and don't fix their misspelled words. That way no one can go out there and try to yank your chain and make you look like a liar. Just leave it. If they mess it up, let them mess it up. So anyway, it says they showed their commitment to a bill, is what it should say, submitted by the Julian Moon, through which the closure of shops on Sundays is sought to ensure, in this manner, the rest of the workers. So this article was converted. Well, yeah, okay, this is one of the reasons it's also kind of like bad grammar, too, is it was converted from Spanish to English using Google Translate, and it's pretty badly translated. But still, there are articles on my site that were just written by English authors, and their grammar or their spelling is a mess, and I leave it that way. Okay, so anyway, the last paragraph, by the way, in this article is pretty really bad, but you're going to notice that the same paragraph identifies Argentina as the place where this is all going to be happening. So why is this so important? Well, first of all, it's where the present Jesuit Pope stood as cardinal for decades. And this very same, it is this very same Pope who declared he will do all he can to uplift Sunday as law due to his hatred of Sabbath keepers. I have a link to a video regarding that fact in box number 6. In there, a man discusses the fact that this Pope hates his own blood brother. You know, his mother's son, who is also his brother, okay, in real life. And the reason he hates him so much is because he's Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know if he's dead or not, this Pope's pretty old himself, but this is the first time I've heard of any South American country officially trying to push Sunday laws through their legislature. So, and we have watched for over a decade how the European Union has been working to legislate Sunday as a legal day of rest, and so are the members of the MK in Israel, which is actually their version of a Congress. And by the way, both Israel and the EU have stepped up their Sunday law agenda in 2014 in what appears to be a Vatican suggestion. All over the world, Sunday laws are rapidly approaching, but we know what's going to happen here first in the USA. That's just one of the reasons you see things going a little quicker here in the States, like with the cashless society and digital money and all these other things that they're already pushing right now. I mean, the coin card's going to be here first, in force anyway. So they are, and by the way, they are already Sunday laws are already included in the Constitution of the United States of America. I think I have a link to the Constitution somewhere in one of the boxes down there. If I don't, I can send it to you. Just go to page 13. It's called Blue Laws, and it was set up by the first Roman Catholic President, John F. Kennedy, though not being legally enforced as of yet. It's in box number 7. Thank you. Just as we saw them take 52 years to enforce the 501c3, because Lyndon Johnson set it up in 1954. It wasn't until 2006 that George W. Bush made it law that if you have a 501c3, you are now considered a government agency with the ability to lobby law. And so that took them 52 years. And it's just how Rome has always worked. If you look at the history of the Roman Catholic Church with their dogmatic statements, sometimes they'll make a crazy doctrine and they'll watch the people, for 20 years. 50, 100 years, sometimes 200 years, it will take the people to say, okay, we trust it, that's right. And then it becomes doctrine, or law in our case, because it's more or less the same thing. Dogma for the Catholic Church is law for the U.S., it's the same thing. So, anyway, they are right now working at breakneck speeds to rewrite the U.S. Constitution to that end as we speak. I actually did two videos on this recently. The links are also in box number 7, and also, as was prophesied, they are using the labor and trade unions to bring this to fruition. And we know how that was prophesied as well, for those of you that study prophecy. All right, this next headline is government dependence has reached epidemic levels. And this was from April. So, again, these are out of chronological order, but, hey, I only had a couple hours to put it all together. So, the headline or the article says this. Okay, this is kind of a long one, like 5 or 6 sentences. It says, did you know that the number of Americans getting benefits from the federal government each month exceeds the number of full-time workers in the private sector by more than 60 million. Pretty bad, huh? In other words, the number of people that are taking money out of the system is far greater than the number of people that are putting money into the system. And that was all planned. We all know about the socialist thing. They got to destroy the economy first. And did you know? And then it goes on, it says, and did you know that nearly 70% of all the money that the federal government spends goes toward entitlement and welfare programs? When it comes to the transfer of wealth, nobody does it on a grander scale than the U.S. government. Most of what the government does involves taking money from some people and giving it to other people. In fact, at this point, that is the primary function of the federal government. So have not students of prophecy been predicting this all along? I don't even know how many times I've shared these types of facts regarding Rome's socialist agenda towards the redistribution of wealth in the last few months alone. In fact, that's why I made that webpage about the Vatican socialist agenda. That leak is also in box number 9 of the notes because, like I said, I kind of moved articles around, so I mentioned it twice. So anyway, in short, what we see happening here is what Rome needs to be able to do, has to do, so as to better control the masses when it comes to, you know, enforcing the mark. The more people they have relying on government assistance, the easier it will be to force them to receive the mark. And in America, they have done an amazing job, as this article outlines. And as we also know, it's going to happen here first. Still, they're not done yet. And by the way, I just received an article that came out on July 3rd, that's just 2 days ago, that states 92,120,000 American citizens have decided just plain give up looking for work. So, and that link is in box number 9. So their plans for a socialist format in America is right on schedule, and it has to be a socialist format or they can't enforce the mark. Next one. Headline, Christians arrested on Canadian campus for distributing literature against homosexual behavior. And it says, two Christians who focused their ministry efforts on the defense of the biblical family were arrested on a Canadian university campus on Monday after officials asked them to leave when they disagreed with the content of the literature that they had sought to distribute. The truth of the Bible has been illegal in Canada for years. In fact, I did a newsletter way back in 2003. And years before that, I did a web page in the late 1990s about the political benefits for hating the Christian. Both links are in box 11 of the sermon notes. So this hatred of Christians was expected in Canada, and not long after that law was passed up north, we saw the Philadelphia 11, as they're called, arrested by police in America for protesting the homosexual parade in 2004, where the Pink Angels were actually attacking the Christians, but the Christians were the ones thrown in jail. But that's not why I posted the video about the Christians being arrested in Canada. If you watched the video, you will notice how the Canadian police chose to arrest the preacher in Canada. And no, I'm not saying that those two police women were lesbians. But the police did choose to have two women arrest the preacher, well, all the preachers, knowing all along that they would do so on camera and end up on the front page as a show of force. Secondly, notice the crowd and how they cheered when the preacher was let off in handcuffs. And not everybody in that crowd were homosexuals. They were on campus. They was at a school. Well, government school still, but it's still a school. I mean, is it not written in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, that who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them? And yes, that's the passage I have a tendency to refer to over and over again as Jerry Springer theology. If you've ever watched how the audience applauds the guests regarding their perverted lifestyles on the Jerry Springer show, and I don't suggest you watch that. I remember this from years ago. You don't. By the way, Jerry Springer used to be a senator. He was a senator in the U.S. government. So it's pretty obvious what he was up to. You know, destroying the morality or the moral foundation of America by making the most. He would come up with the most disgusting lifestyles. The most perverted, disgusting lifestyles, and put them on, you know, on stage and ask them questions in front of the audience, and the audience would laugh and applaud, and this was done in Chicago. So, that right there is the, you know, Romans chapter 1, verse 32, fulfilled right before your eyes. Literally. This next one, again, out of, chronological order. This is from June 16th. About 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks. And this is a video. It's titled Homosexual Flag Hoisted Above U.S. Embassy in Israel. Now, again, this is a video I did a couple of weeks ago wherein we see how the USA is looking to help Rome in their homosexual agenda. And as we know, the USA is emulated the world over. So, when they promote something, no matter how evil it may be, most nations are going to follow their lead as prophecy predicts. At present, via Rome's instructions, the United States leaders are promoting homosexuality globally. Most miss this and why this is actually being done. But when you look at the Vatican, and think about this too. People say that the homosexual is like a majority in America. Do the math. It's not even 4% of the people. It's not even 4% of the population. It's 3.8% of the population is homosexual in the United States of America. And why do they have such a powerful voice? Who's the author of politics today? The Vatican. Who was the author of politics 2,000 years ago? Rome. So it went from pagan to papal Rome, just like the prophecy said. So, when you look into the Vatican, which was just documented by an Italian magazine to be 98% homosexual men running the Vatican, and then you look at the tens of thousands of the lawsuits against them for child molestation, you see why they need to make homosexuality appear normal. It will make them look acceptable, and it will lower the dollar amounts in the lawsuits, especially if they are successful in legalizing pedophilia. I'll get into that a little bit later on. The next headline, 5 corporations profiting from your fear. Well, not your fear. Most of us in here understand that we have no fear because we trust Christ Jesus as Lord. He's got it handled. As a matter of fact, this is one of the beauties of being an obedient Christian. It's like the analogy I always share over the years. 2 men walking down the street. They're both married with children. And they're both considering themselves Christian. The one man on the left, and they're both living in today's world where everything's insane and their children are about ready to go to college and neither one of them have any way of getting them to college or even any type of career. They, most Christians know about the dangers of college anyway. Even if it was a home schooling type of setup, because you can do correspondence courses over the internet too. You don't have to go to a college. So, but they're both walking down the streets and they realize what's going on in the world. And they realize there is no future for their children. And they realize that they're both losing their jobs too, by the way. These 2 dads walking down the street, right? So one of the dads decides he's going to commit suicide. He can't take it anymore. But the other dad just continues on walking with a smile on his face, knowing that this is like my father prophesied. It's supposed to be this way. It also proves he's still in control, and everything is going to be okay, and all is well with my soul, as the song goes. So don't let these corporations profit from anybody. And if you see someone being fearful, let them know. There is no spirit of fear when you're walking with Christ. It's because you already know in advance this is supposed to happen. It makes you actually joyful and a little zealous towards, hey, we're almost home. But anyway, the little excerpt from this article says, Abby Martin's attention to 5 corporations that are profiting from the constant fear-mongering that keeps the U.S. at war and has resulted in the slow erosion of Americans' civil liberties. Now, does this not confirm those in power do study Christian prophecies so as to benefit from them while at the same time create ways to circumvent them by hiding their fulfillments with numerous smoke screens in the well-controlled media? I mean, Jesus himself stated long ago in Luke 21:26 that men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear, and because they're looking after those things which are coming on the earth, because the powers of heaven are going to be shaken. Right? That's paraphrasing, of course, but it's Luke 21:26. And that sounds like today. In fact, large corporations are betting billions. You are fearful enough for them to make a profit off your fear in the billions. Remember that video I did years ago about Armageddon? There's actually corporations out there selling apocalyptic bomb shelters. Well, they're just, escape the second coming. I mean, part of the article actually says to avoid the apocalypse or escape the second coming. In other words, go, put your family inside a mountain or underground. isn't that exactly what the prophecy said they were going to do? They're going to, you know, go underneath, you know, hide themselves from the face of he that sits on the throne. But it being the last days, they're studying the prophecies, they're taking advantage of them to try to profit on people's fear, and they're making billions doing it, and there's no way they can even spend all that money in their own lifetime. And that too was prophesied. But not in a way that's going to please the rich. Because it's written in Matthew or in James chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, it says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh, as it were, fire. Ye have heaped to treasure together for the last days. You know, a fat lot of good that money's going to do then when that eastern sky splits. But I promise I get back to this one. This came out in April, a couple, 3 months ago. Headline, Adventist Church Invites Catholic Priest for Lent. And I just put one sentence in from the excerpt, and it says, Auburn Seventh-day Adventist Church invites Catholic priest to preach from the pulpit. You know, it's bad enough they are celebrating pagan festival of Lent in the SDA Church to begin with. They are also allowing Roman Catholic priests, or pagan priests, to speak from their pulpits. But then, this was expected, was it not? Not only does prophecy illustrate that the Seventh-day Adventist Church would join hands with Babylon so as to become one with her, Neil C. Wilson, former president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, admitted that it was well on its way to fruition in 1981 when he stated the following words. He says, there is another universal and truly Catholic organization, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he said that on March 5th, 1981. Now, I don't think I need to expound much on this article, as it's something everyone in the church agrees with. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is a sister to fallen Babylon. And that is why most in this gathering are ex-Seventh-day Adventists. But if you need more information, see the link to many videos on this topic in the box number 14 of the notes. You know, there's an awful lot of information there for you. All right, this next headline says, U.S. Congress agrees with Pope on religious laws. This came out as well in April. And this is one of those yellow triangle things. Let Yolanda know that she needs to reboot if she can't hear anything. Or she needs to leave the room and come back in. So, okay, there she goes. All right, now this is, of course, a video that I did back in April regarding the religious laws in the USA, but thanks to the efforts of those that watch and report on what our leaders are up to, information regarding their desire to do as prophecy stated when it comes to the religious laws has been uncovered in so many ways, I am amazed at the complacency of most who call themselves Sabbath keepers. Now, and it's not just SDAs, there's Sabbatarian Baptists out there too, and Messianic Jews. I mean, if you know of anyone that thinks you're lying about Sunday laws coming, show them this video. Nearly every single congressman in America is on board with Rome's plan to create religious laws right now. And it doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democratic, Christian or non-Christian. It just doesn't matter. And yes, they need the ability to allow for religious law if Rome is ever going to gain the ability to enforce the mark, because the mark is a religious law. It's not just some law that says you can't park your car on some street corner. It is a religious law. All right, so this next one is, headline is, SDA Unites with Papacy. And this is, of course, a video that Pastor Craig did about Doug Batchelor's comments regarding Bishop Tony Palmer and the Pope, who is working with Kenneth Copeland. In the video comments, Pastor Craig states this, and I quote, there is a worldwide ecumenical movement taking place to unite all religions that will yield to the demands of the Catholic Church. Most religions, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, are uniting with the papacy to come against God's commandment-keeping people in the last days. This video will show how the Seventh-day Adventist General Conference leaders have in fact united their church with Rome. All who break the law of God and do as the Pope says are against God. Please see the video to better understand why it is that the once faithful Seventh-day Adventist Church has gone astray to become a sister to the mother of harlots. And Doug Batchelor says some things that may shock you in regards to in that video. So, Not good. All right, this next one here just came out last week, June 27th. Headline, Torah condition for Third Temple now met? And this, there's a question mark. They love to keep throwing this thing out there. I mean, they've been doing this for 10 years, but still. The excerpt says this. It says, the Jerusalem-based Temple Institute has taken on the goal of rebuilding the third Jewish temple regarded by Jews and Christians as a precursor to the coming of the Messiah. First of all, the need of a third temple is not prophesied anywhere in Scripture. It is, however, another false prophecy of the Vatican via the pawns in Israel so as to set the stage for Antichrist. It is also part of Ron Wyatt's theology so as to lure some Seventh-day Adventists into false prophecy. I have a page all about Ron Wyatt on the website. See the link in box 18 if you want more information. The fact the site for the third temple is already occupied by Islam's Dome of the Rock suggests another political game of cat and mouse is about to take place before everybody's eyes on planet Earth. And it's no coincidence that the dome was patterned after Rome's Church of the Holy Sepulchre, of which was originally built to honor Rome's goddess Venus. I mean, after all, they're all just one big happy family now. Anyway, this third temple allows for two scenarios in how Rome plans to do this. Number one, it can be used to start a war that will cause many Muslims, possibly all of them, to die so as to take over the holy site for Israel or convert. You know, they're either going to die or convert kind of a thing, right? Or number two, and this is the one I'm leaning towards, it can allow Rome to further evangelize Islam towards an ecumenical agreement with Israel and the Catholics. In any event, if the real Lord Jesus Christ, our King, our Savior, tarries in his coming much longer, and they do in fact have the time to rebuild this temple, it will no doubt be used by Rome to blaspheme the Lord and mock his sacrifice for all of us that he did on Calvary by declaring there is a need now to start sacrificing animals again for the remission of sin. It's the only reason for it. I mean, and again, that's why I'm saying I'm leaning towards scenario number two, because we see Chrislam is right now gaining ground. If they were going to annihilate the Muslims, they wouldn't be generating the Chrislam church. But I also know about the way Rome works. If you look at my Daniel 11 defined page on the website, I show how Rome uses their friends or makes them think that they're friends with them. It gets as much as they can out of them. And then throws them away and just annihilates them. And here's the strange things. And a lot of people are falling for this. Many Muslims just stated, just last week, that the Pope is their hero. And of course, we see how Ron Wyatt's confused theology actually has some SDAs believing the sacrifice do need to restart as well. I couldn't believe some of the statements that were being made by some of these SDA young men. Anyway, Jesus clearly said it is finished in John chapter 19:30. Both the Jews and the Vatican deny Jesus as Messiah, and the so-called Protestant churches worship the Pope as of June 26, 2000 anyway, when the One World Church began officially. So if they build this, it's going to allow for the incarnate Antichrist to stand before Islam, Israel, Christians, and Catholics as the Messiah and therefore demand worship. In short, we may have just witnessed a giant leap towards the end of it all by this strange announcement about this third temple. So let's just see. I got a few more articles I can share. If you want, I can end it here, but I've probably got another 10 minutes worth, 15 minutes worth. It's up to you all. But I got one more here. Let's see. Like I said, I got a few. So I'll keep going. Okay. This headline is, Meet the Evangelical Catholics Who Are Making or Remaking the GOP. Which are the grand old party or the Republicans, right? Okay. I definitely will then. Amen. Thank you. All right. Now, this article is, again, another one of those Sunday Law things. It's got the yellow triangle. Here's a little excerpt. It says, more than 50 years after John F. Kennedy's Catholicism stirred fears that he would be more loyal to the Pope than to the people, Catholicism isn't nearly the political liability it once was. And of course, it's not a liability anymore. It's now part of the political landscape. I mean, Scripture warned God's people thousands of years ago this day would come, and now we see yet another prophecy fulfilling right before our eyes. I mean, though not mentioned in the story, Speaker of the House John Boehner is Roman Catholic, as well as that the other Democrats like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, just to name a few. In fact, 6 out of the 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices are full-fledged members of the Roman Catholic Church. And the rest sympathize with Rome, since it was Rome that set them on the bench in the first place. So on top of all that, the so-called evangelical politicians know full well that they serve, you know, who they serve, as George W. Bush once said on camera, he saw God when he was looking into the eyes of Pope Benedict XVI or Joseph Ratzinger. I have a link to that video I made about that in Box 19, and it's at the end of the video that he says this. And you can tell the guy he's talking with, it, he shakes hands with it, he goes, oh, good way to end the interview. That man's a Jesuit. So appealing to the conservative Christian base is a must in order to bring about the legally mandated Sunday worship with as little resistance as possible. So a Catholic takeover of the Republican Party is no surprise to those of us that have eyes at sea. I mean, we all saw the quotes about how the Catholic Church demanded back in the 1800s and the early 1900s about how they had to make the United States of America government Catholic by legislation. And while it's sad to see the people deceived en masse, at least we can take comfort in knowing only a few more prophecies need to be fulfilled before our true king finally returns to bring this world to an end. All right, this next one is a video that I did called Blood Red Moon Prophecy. And, this has to do with more of those prophecies that expose the Antichrist, but most Christians today are falling for the false prophecies that are flooding in the media. There are 3 verses in Scripture that speak of the blood red moon, and all 3 refer to a past event Rome needs to keep hidden. And so, with the help of another so-called Protestant by the name of John Hagee, an overwhelmingly false prophet, and then another guy that wrote a book about the same topic about blood red moons, a guy by the name of Mark Biltz, and World Net Daily likes to promote his book. Rome has been able to make millions, if not billions, believe that this blood moon prophecy of the past is a future event. But no matter, Jesus is still going to be coming on the exact day that his father set forth 6,000 years ago anyway. So, just keep walking down the street with a smile on your face. Next one. Okay, this is another one of those Sunday Law ones with a triangle, and its headline is Israel Eyes Becoming a Cashless Society. And it says the motivation for examining a cashless economy is combating money laundering and other tax evasion tactics, thereby maximizing potential tax collection and greatly expanding the tax base. Yeah, that's all nice. I mean, but the real motivation for going cashless is to make it that much easier to control buying and selling when every nation on earth, including the Jewish state of Israel, receives the mark of the beast. Jewish politicians are right now trying to legally mandate Sunday as an official day of rest as we speak. See the link in box in the same box that I got this. I don't know what the number is, but I mean, they already stated back in February of 2013 that they are going to keep Sunday as a rest day so as to please the Vatican. So now they keep Sabbath for God and they keep Sunday for Rome in Jerusalem as of that date. But now they're looking to legally mandate Sunday as well, because they already put their foot forward. You know, once you take Rome's bait, they got you. All they want is a toe, just like Satan. Once you give them a toe, they're going to go after your leg. So it's probably no coincidence that Israel Today News Service published this story on May 26th in accordance with Pope Francis's first visit to that country. And it's an homage to him that they did this because, I mean, after all, as prophesied, both the media and the governments of this world wonder after the beast anyway. I mean, how ironic is it that they're doing this in the way that it actually glorifies the Lord who saw them do this long ago and placed it in prophecy? I mean, Israel's postal service even went so far as to issue a set of 12 stamps commemorating Francis on that very day, no doubt signifying they plan to give the 12 tribes of Israel to him. In any event, this is going to go down, it's going to go on as a little while longer, of course. Until then, he that is hated by most and loved and worshipped by his obedient bride says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. That's, of course, Isaiah 26:20. So that day's coming. We're going to have to be fleeing, of course, for our lives and just wait on our Father. This next one is, again, another one of those Sunday articles. And the headline is, video, Rome readying for Sunday laws. And this is another video that I did on an article regarding Rome's preparation for Sunday laws. And yes, as expected, disobedient churches and the leaders are right now putting forth a concerted effort to suggest all churches need to take action. That's their word, not mine. They said take action to address the increase in calamities around the world. Now, I'm sure some eyebrows just jumped up on some of you, because as students of prophecy, you know this is a major signpost declaring we are very, very close to Sunday legislation now. I mean, we have been preaching for decades that they will use the increase in calamities as an excuse for Sunday laws, and that they hope will quench the message the remnant people put forth during the loud cry that is now emptying their pews already. These pastors worship money, and since the truth is pulling their people out of their churches, they're going to use the lies of hell to try to get them back in. And so the fact that this is already in the media now means our efforts are already showing great success around the world. In fact, the Seventh-day Remnant Church is not only growing quickly, we now have nearly 1,000 people passing out the tracts, the DVDs, the cards, and booklets each and every week. And since President Bush gave life onto the image of the beast on the 501c3 thing, by declaring all the pastors can now lobby law, in other words, they now have the life in legislation to go forward with it, they're going to get their Sunday laws. So keep up the good work and pray that the latter rain falls more abundantly. The fact that the drizzle is upsetting them, one can only imagine how bad it's going to be when that downpour hits. Still, it's going to hit. Now, this next one here, I couldn't believe it when I saw this article. The headline is, "Pedophiles' brains are wired differently." And the excerpt says, "Pedophile brains are abnormally tuned to find young children attractive, according to a new study published this week. The research by George Ponsetti at Germany's University of Kiel means that it may be possible to diagnose pedophiles in the future before they are able to offend. Well, it will also allow for pedophiles to be considered normal in society in the exact same way homosexuals are now seen as normal. In fact, this claim that the pedophiles are wired differently is the exact same excuse that was used decades ago when the push to legalize homosexuality became apparent in the United States of America. They use the exact same method to make it. I mean, look what they're doing now because we've been warning people about this, before they can get the pedophilia legalized, they have to make polygamy okay. They really have to lower the morals of the American people. Remember that Will and Grace homosexual sitcom? They made homosexuality look really, really happy and get it, because that was towards the end of their push. They already had it. I mean, now Hollywood's got a sitcom about it. And after Will and Grace made it even more popular, it wasn't long before Obama made it legal, right? Have you seen the sitcoms now about polygamists? As soon as they get the polygamy thing off the table and totally legalized, pedophilia will be legalized. I mean, I truly hope that Jesus comes before they do this, because living in a society that allows for such decadence is not something I don't want to be a part of. I mean, it's just, yeah. But then, you know, Jesus did say it will be as it was in the days of Lot, did he not? So this is where you're going to have to keep praying. You know, keep your courage about you, your faith. Okay, here's this next one is a video. I don't know who made the video. It's a headline, SDA Minister Barry Black Praying in Tongues. One sentence. It says, "This recording is a small sample from a public message given by Pastor Barry Black at the Glendale SDA Church." So there you have it. I mean, absolutely every aspect of Babylonian confusion is now being embraced by the Seventh-day Adventist Church as expected. They gave Rome the toe, now Rome's got their whole body. Is it any wonder their numbers are decreasing when it comes to the obedient Christians and increasing when it comes to worldly Christians? I mean, the fact this ministry receives hate mail and even threats from Seventh-day Adventists now simply because I am trying to warn them of the danger confirms they are no longer a Christian church. Probation has closed on the Seventh-day Adventist church, not the people. I did not say the people. I said on the corporate body, the Seventh-day Adventist church, probation is closed, just like it did in the synagogues when Stephen was stoned. You're in the church now, you're in trouble. Just like if you were in the synagogues at that time, you were in trouble. I mean, look what happened in 70 A.D. So, as prophesied by our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7, and confirmed later on in Revelation 12:17, the Seventh-day Adventist people, like the Jews of old, have decided to deny the Lord Jesus Christ so as to allow themselves to wallow in the world of sin. See my Seven Churches Four Movements page to confirm this prophesied fact and this historic fact when you get time. The link is in box number 25 of the notes. And yes, I'm fully aware that this is just one church in the SDA conference that's doing this, well, that we know of, but The video was posted in August of 2013. And as far as I can see, not a single solitary Seventh-day Adventist campus leader has rebuked him or the leaders of the Glendale SDA Church for this prayer gathering where he's speaking in tongues. Besides the fact that this pastor is not kneeling in prayer either, you know, like he's above kneeling in prayer, means God's going to have to bow to him. He is boldly speaking in the gibberish of the modern tongue movement of the Vatican that was inspired through the Pentecostal church. So how do I know it's gibberish? Well, see my tongues page on my website when you get time. It's in box number 26. There are specific instructions in the Bible when it comes to speaking in tongues. Like the Pentecostal church, this SDA pastor ignores God's written word on tongues in a big way here. Not only is he speaking in tongues, nobody's translating. And he isn't speaking in any language. You know how, like the real language that the apostles spoke on the day of Pentecost. If somebody happened to be in the crowd that was Italian, that guy heard him speaking in Italian. If there was a guy speaking in the crowd, it was from Poland. But of course, Poland wasn't there yet. But you know what I mean. But these guys get up there and say stuff like, no words out of any language. I mean, the fact that the Ninth Hour Church, or Seventh-day Adventist Church, as they are called today, is embracing everything from homosexuality to Allah being their God, this proves we are very near the end, brothers and sisters, for it is a plain, very plain, in the prophetic word of God, that it is the 11th hour that he comes for his people. There's no 12th hour. And now, we don't know the day or the hour, but we certainly do know we have been in the 11th hour for many decades now. In fact, some have seen signs of this long before any of us were born. So that being said, I truly do hope the prophesied events that are happening all around us do plant a seed of earnestness within you so as to not only get ready to meet the Lord thy God, but to do all that you can to get your entire house ready. And this last one I'm going to share came out 3 days ago. Yep, 3 days ago, July 2nd, 2014. It's called the Hobby Lobby Effect. And this is one of those yellow triangles. And I'm going to close with this one, even though I've got 30 more. But that's okay. They're on the site. They're in the archives. Here's the excerpt. It says, Democrats have been bearing the burden of the unpopular Affordable Care Act for years, or as most understand it to be, Obamacare. They may finally be on the verge of setting or getting some political mileage out of it, thanks to the Supreme Court. There will be plenty of money raised on the right under the banner of religious liberty now. Again, they need to keep religion in politics so as to assure the option of passing Sunday laws. This is why Rome has used the abortion tactic for decades in politics, even though, and I've got them, some on my website listed, even though they have hospitals that actually kill babies daily in abortions. And the majority of the Catholic women see no problem with it. Abortion. They know this will allow, this Hobby Lobby situation, they know that this will allow a foundation to build on that will eventually allow for, the ultimate religious law, the Mark of the Beast. So many people think it's a tattoo, or so many people think it's a computer chip, or even the number 666. But Rome's agenda to keep the truth hidden about this mark has been very successful with all those that wonder after the beast. I mean, but students probably know this is a religious law. And when we see them working with Hobby Lobby to get religious law to be considered when it comes to contraception and abortifacient pills, pills that kill babies, the morning after pill they call it, that is a pill that allows the girl to commit murder without guilt, or well, she thinks. So we know it won't be long before Sunday laws are brought in. In fact, years ago, when I used to build model cars and rockets, I used to go to Hobby Lobby. You know the kind of rockets I'm talking about. You buy those little rocket things, you light it. Or you don't light it, use a remote thing and it shoots the rocket up and then it comes out with a parachute and all that stuff. I used to do that and build model cars. And I used to go to Hobby Lobby to get supplies. And even some of their associates when they were first starting out. But all of a sudden, in the mid-80s, I think it was, I had already left the Catholic Church, and so this was in the mid-80s, late 80s. They had a sign on their door. One day when I went there to get some supplies, it said that they're closed on Sundays to acknowledge the day of rest. And they have done this now for decades. Thanks to their success in the Supreme Court now, many people are going to be looking onto Hobby Lobby as the ultimate in Christian heroes. Right? But they're not actually Christians. They, like everyone else, clamor after the beast in Rome by keeping the pagan holy day of Sunday as Sabbath. So methinks this isn't the last we've heard of Hobby Lobby. I mean, I wonder if more so-called Christian businesses are going to emulate Hobby Lobby by closing their doors on Sundays when the other shoe drops after the loud cry starts to empty the Sunday-keeping pews. I mean, Sunday laws will be an easy bill to pass into law when this all goes down the way they're planning. I mean, most people are just going to go for it. You know, the overwhelming majority, like say if there's 7 billion, I would think well over 6 billion are going to say, yeah, not a problem. I mean, especially if the hero Hobby Lobby chimes in and how God blessed them with success in the Supreme Court because they kept Sunday holy. See how the Lord blessed us. We don't have to, you know, force our employees to buy abortifacients or contraceptions, whatever. And we're the ones that did it. And we're Christians. And we keep Sunday holy. So there you got your little pinnacle there. You know, your little, I mean, I just can't imagine how easy this is going to make it for them. But still, they can even use someone else next. I mean, like Chick-fil-A, you know. So, but, and then again, you know, whether or not Chick-fil-A or whether Hobby Lobby, the owners, like the CEOs and them stuff, are just ignorant of the Sunday laws at this point and they're not really working with Rome, I don't know. All I know is by their fruits you shall know them. And if they don't repent and start keeping the Sabbath, they will work hand in hand with Rome because they are multimillionaires who keep Sunday holy and they have an ability to speak politically now because they won in the Supreme Court as Sunday keepers. So anyway, I have many more articles to share regarding everything from Congress working with Rome on the UFO agenda. You know, they're going to, you know, well, we know what they're up to there. I mean, they even got paintings in the Vatican that are hundreds and hundreds of years old with UFOs in them. So we know who started that lie years ago about the UFOs. So, and then they're actually going so far as the, some of the articles talk about small farm towns with military vehicles. Those MRAPs that I did that video about, martial law. There's just so many. But to go over all these articles could take, you know, another couple hours. And that's just from what happened since April. March or April, so. And I still have hundreds more that I didn't even consider to put in the list because it's just too much. In short, we are very close to our Lord's arrival, and I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. God bless. Yeah, for some reason, the prayer didn't record, but that's okay. Everybody knows we pray.